You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 80 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Each week, the three of us provide a technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict those markets and those charts. For those of you who wish to follow this program with some visual aid, you can find us on YouTube or on our website at mcalvaney.com/radio. That's mcalvaney.com/radio. Miles, let's get the weekly recap done.
Yeah, so we'll start it off with gold down 3.3% from our recording last week. Gold currently sitting at $4,545. Still not a bad number. I'll take $4,500 gold, but we'll see if that's going to hold here as we look at what some of the expectations are going forward. So gold starting us off down a couple percent in the 4,500s. Silver looking similar, but once again, anything gold does, silver does better. Silver's down 6.2% over the past week, sitting at $71.30. So a 6% decline takes us down to $71, which is still a much larger number than I'm used to yet. But silver and gold both on the downslide, and that's actually going to continue as we look at a couple of the other white metals. Platinum down 8% over the last week and firmly below the 2000 mark. We've been flirting above and below it, but we've pushed down to $1,860 for the white metal. And palladium is down not quite as much. It's down 4% this past week, currently sitting at $1,446, as it had been flirting around that 1500 mark for a couple weeks. On the flip side, the S&P is actually up about 1% on the past week, currently sitting at 7,136 points for the S&P. So after the big run-up we had a week or two ago following the decline, the S&P has kind of planed off here for the last couple of days, but is up another 1% over the past week. And finally, the dollar index up about 0.3% as it continues to inch its way back up, 0.3% to 98.95. Not surprising with the metals down, with the S&P up, with the dollar up also. Of course, you'd expect to see the metals on the flip side of both of those moves. So, Rob, I think you're kicking us off this week. I'm making the executive decision because, good grief, buddy, you really loaded our show notes up this week. What the heck's going on in your head?
Well, you know, I'm a gold bug, and I like the fundamentals for gold. You've been talking about technicals. If we look at what's happened to gold, let's go back 75 years. Gold used to be the largest share of reserve assets globally, upwards of around 75%. Back to 1950, the U.S. dollar was under 10%. That changed over time. The peak of U.S. dollar as a percentage of global reserve assets hit at the end of the 90s, where 60% of all global reserve assets were now held in U.S. dollars and U.S. treasuries, and gold on the other end was down to just 10% of global reserve assets. Fast forward 25 years later, gold went from 10% back in 2000. Now it's up to 30% of global reserve assets, and the dollar has fallen from 60% of global reserve assets down to 40%. So the chart that you'll be pulling up shows the warp and weave between the two, this inverse relationship between the two. I think long-term outlook for gold, this is why so many other financial entities like B of A and Goldman and the rest are all predicting much higher numbers for the price of gold. So yes, gold looks like it could fall down to intermediate or long-term support in the near term, but hold on to your hats, boys and girls, gold's not done.
That's what the shocking thing was for me when the Trump administration first came into office last year and they started talking about gold. It was the first legitimizing, even as a subject matter. yeah. from our own U.S. Treasury.
You mean it's not a pet rock?
That's right. And it wasn't that it was the U.S. really driving the discussion. We know it was the East. The yeah. East was buying. And so, you know, as far as dollars, this is global central bank reserves. This isn't the Federal Reserve mm-hmm. reserves. And I think now into 2026, those have crossed. I think gold has surpassed the U.S. dollar as a reserve holding. And
it has. You're right.
Yep.
You are correct.
And that's not great news for the U.S. dollar. But all that being said, it's not just because they're only replacing it with gold. There's other currency alternatives like the petro yuan. So as China tries to legitimize its currency, yes, the dollar is declining, gold is inclining. That's the point. I would much rather own a real asset than any fiat currency in the world.
Well, Deutsche Bank said it well. Basically, they said gold is anchoring a monetary order that builds independence from the dollar. I mean, that's 10 pounds of mud in a 1 pound sack.
There you go. And that's a Robism right there. Yeah. So what about a deeper dive, Miles, on just gold? Because we can have a similar discussion on silver. And I think we should today because it's getting all the attention and the hype again, and the prognosticators pointing to much, much higher prices. But the fact is, for now, we're in a downward trend. And I think that that's great. Like, this is serving as just a discounting and an excellent opportunity to jump on this trend that's not going anywhere.
Let's go back 4 years into the silver chart, look at mining production, which is about 1,000 million ounces a year. The demand for physical silver is anywhere from 1,150 to 1,250 million ounces. So who is coming up with the difference? Well, if you go back a few years, the COMEX and London inventories have been drawn down from 12 and 1,300 million ounces down to 25 to 40 million ounces. So the difference between what's coming out of the ground and what's being used, that deficit has been offset by the London and New York vaults. But they have drawn down significantly in the last few years, and to get it back in there is going to take time. So we're looking at a huge drawdown of available silver inventory. I don't expect that people are seeing that in the price. I mean, price is definitely lower and going lower here in the near term. But hold on to your hats again.
Yeah, we love the lower prices. And this is a structural depletion. And the inventories shrinking is not good for the producers, which is why you see the East ramping up its imports. So China just set an all-time record. I mean, they had a record in February of about 400 million ounces, just so people know what 1,000 million ounces is. That's a billion ounces for
Can
translation.
Can we just say a billion, guys?
Yeah. I have to take my boots off to do
this. This isn't how numbers work. Just say a billion.
That's right.
A billion ounces.
I just translated it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sitting here like trying to do it, and I got my shoes off. I'm counting on my toes what 1,000 million is. Yeah, it's a billion ounces.
Yeah, but it's
so easy. Billion ounces of production per year.
That's right. But for now, it's easy to state China's imports at 800 tons, okay? And a ton is 1,000 kilos, okay? And a kilo is 32 ounces, okay? Yeah. So that's for Miles to do the math on. But all that being said, look, typically you're somewhere between 200 and 400 tons. And here's China just accelerating to 400 in February and an additional 800 tons of silver, all-time record in the month of March. And we'll have to see what April plays out like. But it's, to me, no coincidence that silver price was knocked down. They closed trading in January. What a coincidence. And then they import all this silver in February. So they're showing no signs
of slowing down.
No. Industrially, they need it for solar panels and obviously warheads and everything
batteries,
else.
Batteries, yeah.
Yes, the EV market is huge over there. And I think it's very important for us to cover this week. With these declines, where do you see us finding a little bit of a floor or support, expected targets?
And with the silver, I mean, you're talking six straight years now of drawdown.
Great point.
Especially coming out of the East, you know, 400 million ounces going into China just recently, that's half the annual production. The number is increasing. The amount that's getting swallowed up right now is increasing. They're expecting the deficit to be somewhere around 40 to 50 million ounce deficit this year. 2026. That's 46 divided by 1,000 million or 1 billion. So that's about 5%. But, you know, that 5% additional appetite for silver is going to add up very quickly. The stockpiles sitting in places like LBMA in London are just quickly getting depleted over the last 5-6 years. And all that's going to do long term is just make the price continue to rise. So transitioning back over to a chart perspective, I think you have to keep some of those fundamental things in the back of your mind. And I think the problem with a show like this is we are looking at a week-to-week pricing and price action movement within the markets. And you can't make your judgment based on the daily or the weekly price movement in something in a market as big as the precious metals, unless you're just day trading the swings. So I think it's important to keep in context. I'm very serious when I say this during our open. Silver is $71. Get that in context for a second.
Yeah, where was it a year
ago?
Silver
is $71. For Pete's sake, like, I'm sorry it was $100 2 months ago and you're sad it went down. But if you were smart, you bought it for 18. It's $71 and it did that in a year. So yeah, it went up to 120 for a while. And when you're looking at the silver charts, you can see how we had that rampant run up. We had a very dramatic fall off. That was just a ball that got kicked down the hill by China stepping in and shutting down silver trading overnight. And then the CME group in the US and New York waking up the next morning and going, oh, that was a good idea. Let's raise margin requirements again. So the market got a really good 1-2 punch there just to kind of kick it off at the shins and get it to slow down a little bit, and it accomplished what they wanted to. But silver is $71. It's insane to me how quickly that happened. It was less than half that price a year ago.
It was a blink of an eye ago that a 500 coin monster box or mint box from U.S. Mint of Silver Eagles was $13,500. It seems like yesterday. And now it's still north of 40,000. And you think, oh, I must not have figured that correctly. You know, but you're right. It's just, it happened so fast and furiously. And now we've got this new floor, again, being supported by this outstripping of demand in terms of the supply. It is good for the listener to say, well, yes, I want to add to ounces. Where should I be doing that?
Yeah, somewhere above or below $71. It's $71, guys. Who cares? Yeah, let's actually start out with silver here, just because I know everyone wants us to. There's a couple different ways you can look at the silver chart here. Is we had this pretty significant run-up that started later than gold's did. We started with the silver run-up back at around the beginning to middle of 2025, so about a year ago when silver was actually less than half the price we are today, at around the low 30s. We had a nice little jump up in 2024 from 22 to 32. That's almost 50% rise in a year. That feels like nothing now, $10, but $10 actually was a lot of money back then. But realistically, after we sat sideways there for a little bit, silver really took off starting at around 32, $33, running all the way up to 120. And you look at some of the potential correction levels, realistically, anywhere between 32 and 120 is a perfectly reasonable and bullish price for silver to be at. And I think that's what a lot of people forget, and they need to take in context the entire market move versus just the last couple months, is if silver goes down to $33 from here, it's still bullish. And I know that's hard to fathom, but that is real. So now, I don't think it's going down to $33, but I'm hyperbolizing on purpose here to sort of prove a point. So the initial decline in silver gave us a 618 fib correction on day one. The speed and velocity at which we saw the rise and then the subsequent turnaround was obviously, you know, car wreck style catastrophe. And then we've had a pretty significant bounce back there. Now, silver has put in two consecutive lower lows. And if the price we just saw back on April 17th of around $80, $81 an ounce was the next high, well, then we've also seen two consecutive lower highs, which means that we're firmly in a declining pattern now here in the silver chart. So I think there's still a chance we could see silver continue to climb here back up to probably the 83 to 85 range, which would give us a nice parallel trading range between the top and the bottom. It would still be bearish short term, but there is a possibility that we see something like that here over the next couple of months. Honestly, guys, anything between 55 and 95 is just trading as normal. The way I look at charts is markets move within certain trading ranges. Something pushes them out. You get a rush, a stampede that either buys or sells to push it to the next rung on the ladder. And right now, the rung of the silver ladder is a pretty big rung. And it puts us anywhere between your long-term 618 fib, which we've already touched, and the longer-term 382 fib. So basically, half of the silver chart is in play.
So Miles, I'm looking at the longer-term fib number, the 618, is a pretty decent intermediate support level for silver. That's going to put it maybe $64, $65 range.
Yeah, we hit it once, but it was a very quick touch. It was an intraday touch. So we technically hit the 618. When we came down, we definitely hit it again, but you know, it was down there for an hour. So who really cares? So I think you're right. Certainly intermediary kind of support in here. I definitely think it has some weight to it because we haven't really traded around that price. We certainly haven't like pushed below it and traded below it. So interim wise, yes. I would argue that that's going to be a kind of a good turnaround point. You draw the parallel declining trend line that could actually push silver below that number, down into the mid to high 50s, but still remains in the same trading range. So yeah, that would just be a stronger argument that silver is probably going to trade sideways here for a bit.
Yeah, next couple of weeks would not surprise me to see it move sideways and lower. But then I keep looking at the fundamentals, the demand, the supply deficit, the drawdown coming from the COMEX and the LBMA. They're not out of silver by any means, but they're way down from where they were.
That's right. And that's the motivating factor to back up the truck and add to ounces, right? Yeah. If we all knew where the low was, that's exactly what we would do. Yeah. And we're just trying to help inform and educate as to where some lows might be. But I'll tell you, if you're going to do that, I would challenge the listener and our clients to have a plan. Why are you buying it? So to me, it's something that is important because let's say you bought it $70 an ounce. What's your exit strategy? Are you looking at it as a performance asset where you think, okay, if it goes up 30%, I'm out. Well, that's $91. If you buy it at 70 and it goes up 40%, your exit is $98. If it goes up 50%, it's 105. Obviously, if it doubles, it's 140. Either have a target exit point, or maybe it's premium swapping, because the more supply and demand pressures kick in, the greater the odds are of us being able to swap out at a high premium into a low premium bullion product.
Yeah,
that could be part of your exit strategy, where you're just holding silver for the long term.
And multiplying ounces.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or you multiply ounces in gold by ratio trading out of it, and you let the ratio dictate. So right now, the ratio is still at this 63, 64 to 1. And if you buy silver here at this ratio at $70 an ounce, you really should not be ratio trading until you're somewhere in the 30s on the downside on the ratio. So is that your exit strategy? But you just have to talk to us, get on the same page, and then remove emotion from it when it happens. Because if it goes up 100% and it's at 140, you ain't going to feel like selling it.
No. Right?
And you have to sell it if that was your plan.
That is so true. Yeah, you fall in love with it. Yes. Just like, you know, Charlie Brown's going to kick that football and then Lucy pulls it away.
That's right.
But I'll tell you one thing. If you're interested in silver, we've got Peace Dollars at 1% over their silver content. That's cheaper than what I'm into the 100-ounce bars for before I even add a fee.
Yeah. Or 1,000-ounce bars. It's incredible.
Incredible.
Like you can get it for less than a 1,000-ounce bar, and it's a 100-year-old coin. The premiums have evaporated in our market, which also makes for a really fun entry point.
Oh, but, how do you not get hurt buying silver? Well, 90 to 100-year-old Peace Dollars at 1% over their silver content to the client?
So it's the cheapest silver you can get, along with the pre-1965 dimes and quarters.
Yeah, even cheaper.
So
yeah.
If you're just silver investing, at least be in something that also has the premium play, because both of those finite universe products you can get out of at 20 to 30% over spot into the bars later. And it doesn't matter if silver's at $60 an ounce or $30 an ounce or 300. Like, here's Bank of America now saying that they expect silver at 300 by the end of 2026.
They must be listening to Michael Oliver also.
That's right. They must have an Oliver in their midst. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm along for the ride, but I'm telling you, the point here is have a plan and remove emotion and stick to the plan, because you can think about it now logically, reasonably.
So true.
Unemotionally.
So true.
Miles, we've got to do a deeper dive on gold to wrap up the show, and platinum and palladium are just going to have to be the forgottens for a week.
We'll do some platinum and palladium whenever something super exciting happens over there, but it's just fun for me to kind of track some of the other metals, because you want to take a shot at something, put 5 or 10% of your metals position into platinum if you're not already. Like, instead of trying to nickel and dime the silver pricing here, just put that money into platinum. Then just wait. Because, man, $1,800 platinum at $5,000 gold is just insane to me. So I'm just going to kind of keep chipping an ounce that direction from time to time. And at some point down the road, I'm going to turn 1 ounce of platinum into 2 or 3 ounces of gold.
So it's happened before.
I'll take it at that point. Yep, it'll happen again, too. It's 20 times more rare than gold. Well, looking at the gold price, similar story, just not as aggressive of a decline, but we have the same declining highs and declining lows pattern that we saw with the silver chart. The biggest difference here, though, is when you go back to like the beginning of 2024, gold started climbing more aggressively than silver did earlier. Silver just had a much quicker catch-up period there at the end here in the last couple of months. But you go back to like February of 2024, when gold really started climbing, it was $2,000. It's definitely put some weight on the bar to do some heavy lifting here, but some of the fib levels really line up nicely with some previous pricing here. Gold has only come down to its first 382 fib retracement level, and certainly could have some ways to go down from here. So I would argue that if gold's going to continue sort of a longer casual slide down, probably somewhere around 4,200 is going to be your first interim floor. I know we've already touched that number, but something around 4,200 is probably the first place you would expect to see gold really take a strong turnaround. It may have already done that when it hit it the first time, because it did hit it back on March 23rd. But if we were to come back down again, we could see double bottom here and build some sideways trading. To me, the most reasonable point from there is going to be somewhere around 3,400, which is going to be your 618 fib on the long term. And after we had the big run up in gold last spring, which again took us from 3,000 to 3,500 in a month, that was a massive move last spring that had to do with the LBMA getting backed up, deliveries not going out. Not the first time that we've heard this story about what's going on in London and the delivery of product. So whenever Rob brings that stuff up, you guys listen out there, because it matters. We had that happen last year and gold shot up $500. Then we sort of planed out around that 3,500, and our short-term run-up, which started back in August, September, took off from there. So we could see gold work its way all the way back down there. Now, that's something that probably takes 6 months. We are getting into the summer months. This is where I do kind of disagree, at least from a timing perspective, with some of the silver prognosticators out there. Believe me, I hope I'm wrong. But personally, I don't see $300 silver by the end of the year. I do see $300 silver by the end of some year. And I think that some year is closer than people realize. But similar with gold, $300 silver is probably $8,000 to $10,000 gold or more. I think it's perfectly acceptable to just let the market catch its breath for a minute before we continue what we know is the inevitable climb in metals, because realistically, we can talk about what's the best entry and exit point and yada yada. And I got to be honest, guys, whenever you guys start talking about that stuff, I tune out because I couldn't care less.
Well,
I mean, the only number I care about is how much more money does the government spend than make?
But go back 8 months ago, and we were just watching this market move higher, higher, higher. And we were moaning the fact that we could not get a buying opportunity. The market just kept moving up all the time. But now, here we are. we've got a chance to get back in at decent numbers, and they might even get a little bit more decent.
Yeah, for those who felt like you missed it, this is your chance. And we're going to wrap up here briefly because the Federal Reserve did have some fireworks today. They had an FOMC meeting. They decided on an 8-4 vote, actually, four dissenters, to keep rates unchanged at 3.5% to 3.75%. So nothing's happening with interest rates in terms of the Fed lending rate. But Powell did say he will not retire. So he is going to not be the chairman, but he will remain on the board. He blames the Trump administration's legal pursuits of him as a reason for him to stay on. And then finally, Warsh's nomination, who's the nominee for the new Fed chairman position, did pass through the Senate Banking Committee, and that sets up his Senate confirmation. So a lot happening at the Federal Reserve this month and next month, and have your seatbelts on for that as well.
Well, that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website, McElveny.com. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McElveny Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556.